Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at the Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show is Nick Edlund. He writes for us here at the Viking Age. He is also one half of the One Bar and Lepagus show on YouTube. If you haven't heard of that, go check that out immediately. They do good work over there. But he's been on the show in the past, so just welcome back to the podcast, Nick.
Thanks for having me. What an exciting time to be a Vikings fan. It truly is.
Exciting is a one way to describe it. That's definitely for sure. I'd say, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's exciting and nervous at the same time, and optimistic and pessimistic at the same time.
And also dumbfounding. These things that are coming out about Mike Zimmer's final months and weeks is absolutely just head scratching.
And I think some of the stuff that's come out, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Because we know, I don't know if you know, but the owners like live in New Jersey. They don't live in Minnesota. So it's like all this stuff kind of happens under their nose. And then they're like, wait, what's going on? It's like, well, you're supposed to be, keeping track of all this. The stuff that's come out isn't surprising. I'm sure more will come out because, there's always more than one side to the story. But just recently, the Vikings have put in requests for a bunch of GMs and head coach candidates. They've already met with some. But do any of the people that they've requested to meet for with their head coaching job intrigue you? Real quick, I'll go over the list of people that they've requested so far. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Nathaniel Hackett, Packers offensive coordinator, who I believe they met with on Sunday. Todd Bowles, the Buccaneers defensive coordinator. DeMeco Ryans, the 49ers defensive coordinator. Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator. Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator. And Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator. So four defensive coordinators and three offensive coordinators. Is there a name that stands out to you?
Well, there was a couple there. And I think we got to take a step back first. You know, everybody assumed the Vikings were going to go with this offensive mind, but just because, get away from what Zimmer was. But I think you really just got to find a guy who's the best leader of this group. And that's truly what I think makes a great coach, a guy who will delegate to his offensive coordinator, to his defensive coordinator, who won't just focus on one side of the ball and not see the whole product. So you got to find out who that guy is. And I like the range, the net that the Wilfs are casting here. Obviously, I'd like to have the GM in place before we make any kind of decision or even bring anybody in. But there are some names. I mean, the first one, and a guy who I was kind of on the target of halfway through the season, was Kellen Moore. You look at the trend in the NFL. It's a copycat league. Everybody wants that next hot, young offensive mind. Is it Kellen Moore? And you look at the game last night. I know Twitter was blowing up. Nobody in Vikings Twitter wanted this guy anymore. You can't judge one game. And the Cowboys came out flat. Penalties. Dak was off. The sun was getting in receivers' eyes. There was all kinds of things going against them there. But look what this offense has done. I mean, ranked first in the league most of the year. 50 bombs they put up, I think, three or four times this year. So he definitely he has a lot of weapons, but he uses all of his weapons. He doesn't just focus on the run game. He's spreading that ball around. You get guys like Cedric Wilson involved when you have CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Ezekiel Elliott. So he's using everything he's got. I like what he's done. Yes, yesterday wasn't a great example, and if you're really going to factor that in, definitely he's stocked down right now, but he's a guy who's intrigued me. Hackett, I also like too. Again, he's kind of hard to judge when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, but he actually got Blake Bortles to win a playoff game. Yep. So that says a lot about who he is. I saw a video of him talking. I mean, he's just one of these guys who kind of your eyes perk up and you listen to him when he starts talking. And he kind of gets your attention. And I like DeMeco Ryans too. You look at what this defense, San Francisco defense, has done this last couple of weeks, kind of the catalyst to get them to where they are. Those are some guys that really do intrigue me on that list. But again, and Kevin O'Connell too, actually, like, I like that Rams guy coming from the Sean McVay tree. Mm-hmm. I think, again, you want that young offensive mind doing things modern. We haven't had a modern approach here in a while in Minnesota. I want to see that. So one of those guys kind of intrigued me more than the others.
Yeah, I like those guys. I think Kellen Moore probably not because of yesterday, but kind of I'd put maybe at the bottom of the list of those guys. Just because he hasn't really been able to show anywhere else that he can do a good job without maybe like Dak or Zeke or CeeDee Lamb. I know that Dak was hurt a bunch last year. And the Cowboys didn't do well. So, and you look at a guy like Hackett, who you mentioned he's with the Packers and he's got Rodgers right now. But yeah, and you mentioned that in the past he's worked well with Blake Bortles. He was at Syracuse too, and he that's not a football school. And they were able to get some wins out of that program when he was there. And I believe he was with the Bills too, and they he got. I think he led them to maybe 9 wins, or helped lead them to 9 wins when they had like Kyle Orton and EJ Manuel. So he's I like that he's been able to get the most out of the guys that he has, at his disposal. And I like that. And like you said, some of his press conferences as well, he comes off as someone who is more positive and relatable and willing to maybe, make some adjustments based on the guys that he has, which is something that you need. And I like D'Amico Ryans because he's a former player. And I think, what was missing with Mike Zimmer, that regime was just at the end, it felt like the players didn't really have a coach that they could go to and relate to or really just talk to about just things, even just on the field. And I think with D'Amico Ryans, him being a player pretty recently, he knows, what these guys are feeling, what they're going through, how to motivate them, to get the most out of this generation, because that's a factor. I mean, someone, Mike Zimmer, he's what, 65, and he's dealing with 20-year-olds. It's going to be a big, what Mike Zimmer might expect out of someone like in the past is not going to be, he's not going to get the same out of someone like we saw with maybe a Cam Dantzler or somebody like that, or a Chris Boyd. It's going to be much different. So I like those. I like D'Amico Ryans. I like Kevin O'Connell because he is from the McVay coaching tree or whatever, and that seemed to do pretty well with Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor, and even Brandon Staley with the Chargers. They didn't make the playoffs, but he still did a pretty good job. Are there any of the candidates that they've requested that you want the Vikings to do, nothing to do with?
Not really. I'm trying to keep an open mind. I was pretty anti Doug Peterson at first, just because I don't like the way they went from a Super Bowl to everything just kind of falling apart there. He was the one initially, but I've kind of warmed up to him a little bit. But there's no one really that I'm just kind of like
Todd Bowles.
No. I would have been like that with what I've been hearing with Brian Flores. So they would have brought him in, just hearing that he's kind of like Zimmer, very standoffish, hard to work with. I don't want that type in here. So that would have been one where I definitely would have been like, no way. After initially being very excited, but when that stuff started coming out about him, I was like, no way.
Yeah. They need to do like a total 180. Like, you can bring in a defensive guy, but we don't need the Vikings don't need like the general to come in and get everyone in line, because I feel like this team is pretty disciplined. They got a lot of guys in the locker room that keeps everyone in line. It's not like they're like the Jaguars or something where they need an entire culture change. There needs to be a culture change, but it's not massive.
Well, I think Zimmer brought in that kind of accountability and discipline. Sure. So I think that stays, and that's one thing that's going to probably last from Zimmer era, but you need that relatability now. That's what you need.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned Doug Peterson. Are there any other coaches that you would like to see maybe the Vikings meet with before they make their final decision? Because I'm guessing that these 7 candidates are not, going to be the final guys they meet with, because one, they got to pick a GM, and then they might want to bring some other people in.
Yeah. And it's weird because the Vikings really have never hired a retread coach other than the year Bud Grant came back. So this would be something new for them if they actually went this route. But Josh McDaniels is one I feel like.
Yeah, I like very, him too.
Yeah. I feel like, he had his year a couple of years in Denver. Now he's back under Belichick. I think that's going to be, I don't always like that, but I do like that about McDaniels. I think he's ready now to make the leap and come in here, learning from the best ever. that excites me.
We've written a couple times on the Viking Age. He's been kind of linked to the Vikings because the report is that he wants to go somewhere where there isn't a GM in place, so he can kind of, you know, have a say maybe in who gets that GM job, so that, you know, he can work together with that person and build the best team. And then I read somewhere that the Vikings have strong interest in McDaniels too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. He's been with the Patriots after he was with the Broncos. He's been with the Patriots now for like the last 10 years, you know, wasn't able to do much with Cam Newton when he was there, but I think that was probably more on Cam Newton than McDaniels, because they switched the entire offense pretty much for Cam Newton, and just didn't work out. And obviously he's been able to get the most out of Mac Jones. And he knows, he was with Tom Brady for a bunch of years, so he knows what it takes to be great. And he's been to Super Bowls and everything. And I think, yeah, he gets a bad rap for that Colts, you know, maybe flopping out on them or whatever. But yeah, I've done a little more reading on that. It seems like after he agreed to it, he met more, and like the things that maybe the Colts said they were going to provide him, they didn't. And, you know, he just didn't really want to be set up to fail. So he was just like, all right, I'm just going to go back to, you know, New England and take another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think of that. And there's another guy in Los Angeles on Sean McVay's staff. His name is Thomas Brown. He is their assistant head coach. He just got the Dolphins just requested to meet with him for their head coaching job. I think he's like 35. He's only been with the Rams for 2 years, but people are already comparing him to Mike Tomlin. And McVay just raves about him as far as like just being a coach. He was the running backs coach last year, and he got promoted to assistant head coach this year. So I think that says a lot. And he's just been, I guess he's like a master motivator and gets the most out of his guys. So I'd keep an eye on a guy like that, because if Sean McVay, you know, likes him, like we mentioned with LaFleur and Zach Taylor, like he's got a, you know, pretty good track record for picking out guys that are pretty good at what they do. So I'd keep an eye on that. Thomas Brown with the Rams. Is there, you know, looking at GMs, is there a specific quality? Because, you know, we can talk about the candidates and stuff, and we'll be like, well, this guy is with the Browns or the Eagles, and like, okay, cool, we don't really know what they can do or what they can bring. But is there a specific quality that you would like to see in the new Vikings GM, maybe something that maybe bothered you about some of the things that Spielman did?
I don't know, maybe put a priority in the trenches a little bit more. Quick taking these athletic linemen, take the big, strong guys that dominate us single time. Yeah, we want fat, strong guys, a bunch of them. On both sides of the ball is what we want. That's one. And I want the new GM to value draft it. Not that Spielman didn't, but I would rather, I don't want to get a GM in here who's willing to throw away all the first round picks for the next 6 years to, you know, to, I love the draft. I want the Vikings to have picks in the draft. But later in the draft, I think I'd rather see the change from quantity over quality. I'd rather see a package in late round picks and move back into the fourth, fifth, whatever, get some more quality players than just try to get seven.
You don't want 15 picks?
I don't want 15 picks. No, I don't. I mean, yeah, maybe you hit on one of those, but I'd rather trade up and get some more quality.
I feel like Spielman, he had a good philosophy behind that to like, just like get as many chances as possible to get, you know, a good prospect. But when you're drafting most of those picks in the sixth and seventh round, your chances are pretty low of hitting on any of those guys. And I think that kind of happened the last 2 years where he's like, we got all these picks. You know, what's wrong with them? It's like, well, they were drafted in the sixth and the seventh round. So, you know, that's why they're not that great. But yeah, I agree with you as far as quality over or quantity, you know, trade up into the third round or the second round and get those guys. Spielman did that in the beginning. He traded up to get Teddy Bridgewater. He traded back in the first round to get like Cordell Patterson back in the day.
Trade back in to get Harrison Smith.
Right. So he used to do that. I don't know what happened later on where he's just like, I have to get the most picks as possible, but you know, something happened.
Yeah.
All right. So things didn't end well for, you know, Mike Zimmer's tenure with the Vikings. But what were some of the things that you actually liked about his tenure with the Vikings?
Well, we already talked about just making these players accountable for their actions off the field. You think of back in the day, the Love Boat thing. I mean, people, guys are screwing off in the field. I mean, that was pretty much, they cut you pretty damn quick under the Zimmer era. So I like that. Some of the defense, I mean, early defense when he kind of made, we were the worst defense in the league when he took over. Mm-hmm. Got us pretty damn good there for a while. Obviously, I think the NFL caught up with his scheme and, you know, last year's been pretty bad. But those are a couple of things that I always remember. But again, yeah, it's so much heartbreak, too. And there, it's hard to forget the missed field goal against the Seahawks in the playoffs. Obviously, Minneapolis Miracles, one of the greatest moments as a Vikings fan you can remember. But then how you followed it up with an absolute, just a big turd against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the good things, but he was a damn good coach. You like who he was off the field. He kind of had that rougher personality, a guy you kind of want to sit and have a beer with. So I like that about the head coach. You know, it did kind of get sour in the end there, but those are some things I remember with Mike Zimmer and appreciate what he did here.
Yeah, I think being writing, you know, about him, I think I appreciated his press conferences and stuff like that because he would actually tell you stuff or he'd be honest with you when. Or if you listen to like Rick Spielman or Kirk Cousins, it's like it's they say a lot, but it's a whole lot of nothing. So with Zimmer, he'll tell you stuff, he'll break stuff down to you, he'll be honest with you, sometimes too honest. But you know, he's not gonna usually beat around the bush unless it has to do with an injury and he doesn't have to tell you about it. Then he's not gonna tell you anything. But I liked the way that he just always had this team be competitive. You know, some people might say, you know, that's settling for mediocrity or whatever, or you know, not being the best, but I'd rather have them always be in the hunt than, you know, be the Jets or the Lions, because I have no idea how those fan bases root for those teams. Because with Zimmer, what their worst season was last year, 7 wins,
I believe so.
So I mean, I appreciate that about him. I think he's got too old. His grumpiness got a little, it works. It's fine when you're winning, but when you're losing, you know, it's going to grow old real fast. And I think it was just time for him to go, maybe a little too late. Probably should have gone last year or maybe even the year before. I heard if they I read something that if they lost the Minneapolis Miracle game, that they might have let him go after that game. And I was like, oh, wow.
Probably would have been a good time, really, looking back at it.
I mean, yeah, it might have been because. You bring in a new head coach, and that might have been something like that puts the Vikings over the hump to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that would have gone, and I don't think that actually would have happened because looking back at what Spielman and the owners do, they like to kind of stay consistent. Do you think Mike Zimmer will ever be a head coach again in the NFL?
I don't. I really don't. He's what, 65?
Yeah.
You see the stuff his daughter's putting out on Instagram about how he. The only thing that makes him happy is his grandkids. Yeah. He's got, well, like a really hot 30-year-old girlfriend. He's got a ranch. Why would you come back? You got nothing to come back for. He's 65 years old. His defense is kind of archaic now. Yeah. If anything, he'll go be an assistant with Dion over there in Florida Atlantic. Maybe that's where his future lies. But I really don't. I don't think he's going to come back. I don't know who would actually – I shouldn't say I don't know who would want him because you see Clint Kubiak get an interview with the Carolina Panthers. So anything is possible. But honestly,
I think Ben McAdoo got an interview today, too.
Yeah, see, you just never know. I don't know what the Panthers are doing. They're trying to get the number one pick next year. I don't know, but I really think he's done. I really do. I don't know how you feel about it.
I would say probably not as a head coach. I could see him maybe as a defensive coordinator someplace that just has maybe like a younger coach looking for some of that experience on their staff. I could see him doing that.
He's having fun anymore.
No, it doesn't seem like it. I could see him going like the Browns as like a senior defensive assistant or something like that, helping Stefanski out. I think he liked him. So I could see that. And yeah, he doesn't have to. He's getting paid the next 2 years, so it's not like he needs to get another job. I think he's probably just going to get bored. I think that's the only reason why he would take a job somewhere else, because a lot of these guys, they'll be a consultant or something because they just get so bored. The only place I think he might be a head coach would be like a place like Jacksonville that's just looking for like a complete change from what they just had. But I don't even know what they're looking for in Jacksonville. I don't think they know what they're looking for.
No.
No, not at all. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a head coach again. All right. Moving on to Kirk Cousins. He is still around. He is still with the Vikings as of right now. We'll see in a couple months if that's the case. So what do you think the chances are that Kirk Cousins is the Vikings starting quarterback next season, right now, I guess?
I'm going to say 60% that he stays. And
60?
Well, I just, you know, it depends who the GM is and who the head coach is. If they think for they sure can win in year one and they want to make an impression right away, get some instant return on coming here, then I think they probably stay with Kirk Cousins and just, I think they can be competitive in year one. I think they will be competitive in year one. The other thing is that if you do get an offer, even some kind of decent offer where you're getting some draft picks, second, third round, or maybe you get a first. I don't know what you get for Kirk Cousins, but there's teams that are quarterback away. I mean, the Steelers are one that come to mind. Yep. You look at Denver. Yep. He's got connections over there. You never know what's going to happen with the Browns and Baker Mayfield, Stefanski, Cousins. Panthers. I mean, that could be, yeah. So that could be definitely some ways they go. So I think it's just over 50-50, but he probably comes back.
I think the Steelers are going to be I think they're going to try and get Kirk Cousins because they can't go forward with Mason Rudolph.
No.
they're not going to do it. Maybe I would actually, I think they might go after Russell Wilson first, see if they can get him, and then, you know, maybe Kirk Cousins would be a consolation prize. Obviously, there's the connection with the Broncos with George Payton. He's with someone who actually helped the Vikings get Kirk Cousins. So I would keep an eye on that. But at the same time, he knows, you know, what Kirk Cousins is not good at and what he is good at. And obviously there's the connection in Cleveland too, Kevin Stefanski and their situation at quarterback, which, you know, if you ask Baker Mayfield, they're fine. But anyone else, probably not. Just like talking about Kirk Cousins, you know, he puts up all these good stats. But for some reason, his entire career, it just really hasn't amounted to wins. And do you have any explanation for that? Why don't you think his stats translate into wins?
I don't know. It's really hard to put a finger on it because look at how many games he actually drove the team back down the field to either tie the game or win the game or be in position to win, and they just don't do it. So I don't know if it's just bad luck or if I mean, the Vikings defense was so bad this year. I mean, you had to score 40 points to guarantee yourself a victory. But again, you look at Aaron Rodgers and guys like that who win. So they say, you know, good teams find ways to win games. Well, should that apply to quarterbacks too? Should good quarterbacks find ways to win games? Yeah. And maybe Kirk Cousins doesn't fit that criteria. I don't know.
Yeah, I think sometimes what people miss when you're like, if I or you or somebody else would bring up the topic of trading Kirk Cousins, they'll be like, you know, well who are you going to get better? Or why wouldn't you keep him? Look at his stats. And it's like, it's just not working. You know, it's time to, you know, bite the bullet and move on. And people keep saying, like, you're going to bring in these offensive masterminds to get, like, you're finally going to get, you know, get the leash off of Kirk or get the most out of him. And it's like, he's been in the league for 10 years. Like, what? He's not going to miraculously like discover how to play quarterback at the best level right now. He is what he is.
and the point isn't to get better next year. The point is to get a better team, you know, 2 years down the road. Right. And if they do get rid of Kirk Cousins, then I hope they don't bring in some scrub patchwork guy like a Brooks Bollinger again or something like they used to do back in the past. Yeah, I would rather see like you go get a Drew Lock or something like that. A guy who still has some upside, maybe can win you some games. And then, you know, I still know what we have in Kellen Mond, which is still a, not that I have a lot of hope for him, but I would like to see a little bit of him this year.
Yeah, we really have no idea because Zimmer, there was no way Zimmer was playing him.
No.
At all. Because no, you mean, what we know about him and Spielman now, like not talking for like the last few months, there was no way that Kellen Mond was going to see the light of day.
No.
You mentioned the Steelers. All right, yeah, we already talked about some teams that Cousins might be able to land with. You mentioned the Steelers. The Broncos, what, the Panthers maybe. I could see maybe the Texans if they move on from Deshaun Watson. Because a lot of these teams, I think the Vikings have the advantage because Kirk Cousins only has 1 year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. And people keep saying, well, no one's going to take his $45 million cap hit. Well, actually, it's 35 if for every other team in the NFL if they acquire him. It's only 45 for the Vikings. And they could tack on like another 10, be like, okay, we'll take, it only costs you 25. Like, there are a lot of teams that would take Kirk Cousins for $25 million for 1 year.
Absolutely.
So I think the trade market is going to be interesting, especially with a new GM coming in. Do you think there's any chance that they sign him to an extension?
I really don't. I just think the new guy is going to want his guy. You always see that new regime comes in. They want their guy. Again, if they want some instant, you know, gratification, maybe they keep Kirk Cousins around. But if you get something for him this year, I think you almost have to go out and get something for him because he's probably not coming back after this year. So I would be shocked if they extended him.
Do you think the Vikings, you know, depending on who they get as head coach and GM, but do you think they could quickly turn into a contender again? Like you see teams maybe like the 49ers in the past or even the Bengals this year, like, there's just, you know, snap of the fingers and they're winning the division and going far in the playoffs. You think the Vikings are, they have maybe the talent to do that next year?
I think they do. I mean, you get Irv Smith Jr. back. You got Justin Jefferson, Delvin Cook. Maybe you have Adam Thielen back. I don't know what's going to happen there. You got your left tackle of the future. You got your right tackle. Yep. Maybe have your left guard. Their two positions are very, very bad. But then you go to the defensive side of football is what worries me.
Yeah.
Daniil Hunter, if he comes back, that would be definitely a huge help. I don't know if you bring back Pierce or Tomlinson. I don't know what the cap is if you cut him, but not really overly impressed with either one of those guys. You don't really have an opposite Daniil Hunter right now. DJ won him. Yeah, he had 8 sacks, but that was so up and down and fluky, and he's horrible against the run. Kendricks will be back. Great. Anthony Barr's here. He said his goodbye, so he's out of here. Harrison Smith, I mean, he wasn't making the impact plays he did last year, but he's still Harrison Smith. The cornerback group is definitely the question. Do you bring back Patrick Peterson? Otherwise, you got, what, Cam Dantzler as the old man in the group right now?
I think Chris Boyd's the oldest.
Chris Boyd. So offensively, definitely. The defensive side of the ball is really where scary. That's the scary part.
Yeah, that's why I think we mentioned in the very beginning about, you know, how it shouldn't matter if it's defense or offense, but you look at the Vikings, their defense is what needs help the most right now. So it wouldn't be surprising if they, you know, took the defensive route. They did that 2 times in a row with Leslie Frazier and Mike Zimmer. So, you know, like you said, they just got to find the best guy for the job. Michael Pierce's cap hit, by the way, next year is $10 million. So I don't know if you want to have that on the books and you save a little over $6 million. If you release him. So I think he's a pretty big candidate for release this year. Although he did play well, like when he was on the field, but he only played in like what, 8 games? He opted out the year before. You know, obviously I'm not gonna hold him opting out against him, because nobody knew what was going on in 2020. But if you're paying a guy that much, you'd like to see him on the field.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought I'd run defense be a little bit better with those two in the middle.
For sure.
I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, it was not good. All right, so, you know, sticking with, you know, becoming a contender kind of quickly, should the focus be on competing in 2022 or building for 2023 for the Vikings, do you think?
I think, like we kind of already alluded to, you can do a little bit of both, but I think the plan needs to be building for the future, moving forward. Getting away from the Mike Zimmer regime. I mean, the coaching staff really needs a complete, absolute overhaul. Anybody who's related to anybody needs to get the hell out the door. No more nepotism. Sick of that crap.
is there anyone you would keep?
I'd keep maybe McCardle. I do like Keenan McCardle. Not just because he was a receiver. I like what he's done with our receiver. Look at KJ Osborne. I mean,
sure.
Where'd he come from? And then
special teams coach?
Ficken. Is that Ficken?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'd keep those two. Yeah, other than that, I mean, I love Andre Patterson. But he's been here forever, and maybe he needs a change of scenery too.
Yeah.
He deserves a defensive coordinator.
And I see a lot of people bringing him up for like considering him for a head coaching job. And I'm like, okay, but I don't think much is going to change. Like maybe players will be a little happier, but as far as like production wise and wins and stuff, you're kind of going with the same philosophy. You think he's going to run a completely different defense than Mike Zimmer? Because I don't. He's been in that scheme for like his whole life. So yeah. I agree. Building for the future is most important. If they, you know, I'd like to see them. I don't think they're going to do a complete rebuild. I think they have too much talent, too much, you know, invested in their roster to just start cutting everybody.
Yep.
Because they're not terrible. They won 8 games this season.
There's enough on this team. I mean, if you try to do the rebuild, I think you still could win 6 games easy. So
for sure. So yeah, building for the future is most important. I think guys like, maybe Thielen and Harrison Smith, and you mentioned Daniel Hunter and even Kendricks. You know, they could be heading into, they either have already played their last game with the Vikings, or they could be heading in their final season. So we're going to see a lot of, you know, familiar faces probably heading out the door soon. All right, I'll leave you with this. As of right now, which is January 17th, who will be the Vikings head coach and starting QB for the 2022 season?
Wow. Wow. You would have asked me this yesterday. I probably would have sent Kellen Moore for the head coach, but I'm starting to get off that one. I'm starting to think it's going to be Josh McDaniels. I really do.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say it's going to be Kirk Cousins. It's not very exciting, but I think that's just what I'm going to go with right now.
All right. I'll switch it up and I'll stick with McDaniels. But I'll go Teddy.
You think Teddy's coming back? You want it so bad, don't you?
I just think they can draft somebody and then sign Teddy for like $10 million. We know McDaniels can probably get the most out of him. And they got Dalvin Cook. The Vikings don't need Teddy to carry the offense, maybe like the Panthers did or even the Broncos. They just need him to come in and not turn the ball over, kind of like what he was in 2015. Mm-hmm. And use the money that you saved signing Teddy or somebody else. Who knows? What, is Case Keenum a free agent next year? Oh, boy.
Don't do it. Don't go there.
I like McDaniels. I would be fine. I'm thinking Nathaniel Hackett has a good shot. Especially him coming from the division already.
But if he has a bad game against the Niners, is everybody going to follow him too? I mean that.
Yeah, I think LaFleur takes a lot of that blame.
Yeah.
With the lack of playoff success that they've had. I think LaFleur is taking a lot of that blame. And everyone's going to blame Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on. He's been a lightning rod this year. So
he deserves it.
Everyone's going to take that chance to pile on if they lose on Sunday, which I think is pretty good. Because I think I saw yesterday that Aaron Rodgers was like 0-3 against the Niners in the playoffs. So
we'll see.
It's going to be a good game for sure.
Well, this is what the new regime has to change. We have to be in the position where the Packers want us to lose in the playoffs every year. We have to quit. You know, our big win is against them. That whole thing needs to flip, and it's beyond time that it does.
We got to make sure that their game against the Vikings every year is their Super Bowl.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So. All right, Nick. Yep. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Follow me at Lupagus on Twitter, and be sure to hop on YouTube. Follow us, subscribe to the One Bar and Lupagus Show.
For sure. Go check that out. Putting out lots of good content right now with everything going on. Make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.